Open your Bibles, please. The book of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 8. Chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, reading down through verse 4. So if you'll go there, please, and let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. May God add his blessings to the reading of the Word of God. I want to talk to you today about he touched me. And he is willing to touch you today. Whether you're saved or unsaved, we need a touch of God. And God can do the miraculous, as we'll see here in just a moment, that goes beyond the human comprehension of what the Lord Jesus did in this great miracle after coming down from the mountain where he gave the Sermon on the Mount. And I'll introduce the message by that sermon in just a moment as we look at, he touched me. Father, it seems so little to say, but it needs to say, be said more than we said, that you touched us. I can't explain to you all that I'm wanting to say today. I can't understand it. There are just some things, Lord, I have to accept by faith. You know everything. You know, Lord, exactly what the need is of every man, woman, boy, and girl in this auditorium today. And Lord, I cannot meet their needs. I have no way. I can't do that. But Lord, you can. And so be it that individual who has been saved for years, who needs fresh oil today, I pray you'll touch us. And Lord, that individual that may be backslid away from God, drifting, may you touch them. And then Lord, there may be that leper today, which is a type of sin, an individual who's never been saved, that Father, some way they'll come to Jesus Christ even today. I yield myself to you the best way I know how. I leave the results up to you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. In Stockholm, Sweden, a number of years ago, there was a lady that was pinned under a streetcar. As a matter of fact, she was seriously injured and it looked hopeless as she lay there screaming and crying and bleeding. A crowd collected around and even some of the men tried to move the streetcar, but it was too heavy. They're waiting on the heavy equipment to come in to lift it up so they could hopefully save her life. There was nothing to do but to wait. But all of a sudden, there was a young man who ran out of the crowd, crawled under the streetcar, and said, Ma'am, take my hand. And she reached out and she got a hold of his hand and she grew calm. And it kept her from going into shock. As a matter of fact, he said, just squeeze it real tight till the help gets here. It stopped the blood from flowing out of her body at a rapid pace. And she was more calm and collective than she was before. After she was delivered and saved by the heavy equipment, here's what she said when she was freed. I never knew the touch of a hand could mean so much to me. A young man did what he thought he could do and was able probably to help save her life. And none of us are beyond thanking God today that he touched us. That he was able to do something for us because we could not do it for ourselves. And I'm grateful to God that when he preached the Sermon on the Mountain, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, as a great crowd followed him there at the foot of that mountain, his disciples went a little farther with him on the hill as he gave the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. He gave us what we call the Beatitudes in chapter 5, which are good attitudes to be in. He talked about our relationship with God and our relationship with other folks. He gave us the great discourse on how we are to live in this world. I believe all of us probably should go back to the Sermon on the Mountain pretty often. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you is still a good scripture to read and quote. Going with somebody the second mile after you've gone the first mile is still great teaching. And when Jesus came down from the mountain, and the Bible says when he was come down, so he come down from the mountain, it says great multitudes followed him. They followed him to the mountain. And now when he came down out of the mountain, even greater crowds were gathering around him. John said it this way, never a man spake like this man. Jesus was able to teach and to instruct like nobody else has ever heard instruction. He gave lessons and sermons that penetrated the heart to help individuals live right. Now Jesus is going to demonstrate what that's all about. So when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have the life of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us in a capsule form. Not all the things he did. We could not have all the things he did written in books today. He was busy from the time he began his ministry at the age of 30 until the day he died, probably at 33 years and a half. But he demonstrated what Christian living was all about. And even though we cannot do exactly what he did, we are to learn how to have the same spirit that he had, that we can be able to influence a generation for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody in this world needs a touch of God. I care not where they're at. I care not what their name is. I care not what the color of their skin is. I care not what their background is. I don't care whether poor or rich, famous or non-famous. You may never be anybody's eyes, but in the eyes of God, you are somebody, and Jesus loves everybody, and there's not anybody in this room he does not love. Jesus loves me. This I know. How do you know? The Bible tells me so. And Jesus demonstrated his love in this miracle, which is unusual, very unusual miracle. As a matter of fact, I'll get to it in just a moment. You see, he can heal in various ways. You won't put him in a box. People sometimes say you got to be this, do that to be healed. Not everybody's going to be healed, but he healed a lot of folks. He healed this leper with just a touch. He healed the centurion's request for prayer of somebody in his household by just saying the word. And he said, he is healed. And he was here, and the prayer request was over geographically miles, but he was healed. He was able to touch demons and cast them out. He was able to speak to the wind, and the wind would be calm. He was able to deliver two men from Gadara who were demon-possessed, who lived in the tombs and ran naked, and they were wild. And when they come in the presence of Jesus Christ, he was literally able to cast the devils out of them, and they went home whole. Why? Because he has the power to heal. But every miracle in the Bible has a purpose. Here it is. You say, well, he did all these miracles and he showed how great he was. Yes, he was declaring he was the Son of God. But let me tell you why he did miracles. He doesn't just pass miracles out to be passing miracles out. A miracle a day. I mean, it's a miracle just to be alive. And it's a miracle that God hung the Son. And the greatest miracle of all, he come live in my life. But he just doesn't do miracles of laying aside the laws of nature all the time just to be doing it. He has a reason for it. Remember the four men who carried the paralyzed guy to see Jesus? And they could not get into the house because of the press. Now, that's not talking about the newspaper paper. It's talking about the crowd. But these four guys, they were determined to get this man, their friend, to Jesus Christ. So they go on top of the roof. Amen. And they tear back the roofing. And they take some ropes and they let him down in the presence of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine all these people in that room listening to Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden coming through the roof is a man who can't walk, and they lowered him right in the very presence of the Lord. And here's what it says. But that he healed him that day, forgave him of his sins. It says, but that he may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. It was not a matter of just healing the body. That was just a second blessing. The main thing was seeing folks saved, and any miracle that was done was a sign to the Jews that they would understand that Jesus was, is, and shall ever be the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the one who has all power in heaven and in earth and can do anything, anywhere, anytime that he wants to. Sometimes he can speak. Sometimes he can just say the word. Sometimes he can touch. Sometimes he can just move. But God has power. And sometimes it's like the woman who went through the crowd, just touched the hem of his garment, and she touched him, and he said, I felt virtue go out of me, and he touched her. But it didn't happen always the same way. I simply give to you the fact Jesus touched people. The Queen of Elizabeth visited the United States of America many years ago, and she was addressing the Houses of Congress. And so as she was ascending up to the platform to speak, the sergeant of arms got her by the elbow to help her to the place to where she's at. Flash bulbs went off. Cameras began to click. What happened was this. That was against protocol. According to the customs of the Queen of England, nobody touched the Queen. Nobody. Because it was not proper to do so. The sergeant of arms was just doing what he thought was normal, and got written up in the press about it, about touching the Queen. And I just thought to myself, the Queen says nobody can touch her. I'm glad I've got a King who touches people. And not only does he touch them, he doesn't mind you touching him. I'm glad we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's able to do in our life what nobody else can do. I'm glad we have a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Now, we can't feel his touch physically like this leper is getting ready to feel it. This is a miraculous story. I won't get through it probably even in the sermon this morning. It's just a miraculous story. But when the fact comes that Jesus Christ touched him physically, the crowd would go and gasp and probably begin to cry and to scream when he touched the leper. You'll understand in just a moment. We feel the touch not physically today. I've never felt the physical hand of the Lord on my life. He could do it if he wanted to. But he's chosen Christian people who have been given the sermon in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All the things you'll need in life will be added to you. And he says, I want you to be a light. Let your light so shine before men, Matthew chapter 5, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to be what you're supposed to be. And Jesus Christ does not touch people physically as we feel his hand on us, but he touches us spiritually. And he uses people so often to get that done. God has no hands but your hands. God has no feet but your feet. God has no eyes but your eyes. God has no ears but your ears. Preacher, that's not true. I'm talking about on this earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, went back to heaven and sat down at the right hand of majesty. And he's there ever living to intercede for us. And then he told us to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. He said, you will be the instruments. You will be the vehicle. I will fill you with the Holy Ghost of God, and you shall go into all the world and touch people's lives. Not because of us, but because we're representing him, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God should dwell in us. There was an orphanage several years ago that was overrun with children. It was overcrowded. As a matter of fact, they were understaffed. They fed the children well, and they clothed them well, but they could not do one thing, and that was to show affection. They didn't have time. so many kids and so many needs that they had nobody to hug them, nobody kiss them. Did you know this is a true story? The kids died because they didn't have a touch upon their life. Everybody needs to be touched to the degree we can in our lives. And these children literally died because biologically they're crying out, somebody touch me, somebody do something for me, somebody help me. And in their weak way of crying and pampering, they had everything they wanted, but they didn't have what they needed. And that was a touch of somebody's hand. You can be well fed, you can be well clothed, you can have a good job, you can have all the luxuries of life, but that may be things you want, but what you need is a touch, is a touch, is a touch of the Master's hand upon your life. We come boldly today before the throne of grace. Turn with me, please, into the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and read a very familiar passage. We can come boldly to the high priest, who's the Lord Jesus, beginning in verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the filling of our infirmities. Are you listening to me? It ain't good English, but it's good preaching. Ain't nothing you going through that he doesn't know about. And there ain't nothing that he can't be touched about. You say, preacher, I'm lonely. Jesus has been there. He knows what it is to be forsaken. Jesus was rejected. You say, I've been rejected. You go through all the list of things that we face, humanly speaking. There's not a thing, not a problem that you've gone through that Jesus has not felt it already. The Bible says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the filling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then he gives that great lettuce. If you read the book of Hebrews, there's 12 lettuces. It's a good lettuce patch to get in once in a while. He said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. This leper is getting ready to come boldly before the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of what? Need. Everybody has needs today, and the Lord wants to meet those. I'm unworthy. And I'm not saying that because I'm trying to be super spiritual today. I have no right to come to the throne of grace. I'm privileged to come. I'm unworthy to come because of my life. But because he touched me, I have access to the throne room of heaven. And the ability through the means of prayer to talk to the God of heaven and to be able to approach him, and I can come boldly or with confidence to the throne of grace. I'll tell you what, I'm glad we can come, aren't you? I'm glad he was reject none. Oh, you weary sinner, come. Doesn't matter. Let us come boldly. Come boldly. There's a song called that. Let's come boldly before the throne of grace. I offer you first of all today, he is the greatest friend we'll ever have. What a friend we have. He receives anyone in need who comes by faith. Number one, he receives anyone in need who comes by faith. Let's go back to our text. Chapter 8, verse 1, verse 2. And behold, there come a leper. And worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I give to you today the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God to do what he was getting ready to do. Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 10 and verse 38. The New Testament church is in progress, and Peter is visiting Cornelius. But in verse 38, the scripture says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now turn with me, please, back to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. The ministry of the Lord Jesus after his temptation in the wilderness, after being baptized by John the Baptist and going into the wilderness and being tempted for 40 days of the devil. And then the Bible says that he came to Nazareth, verse 16, as his custom was. Jesus went to church because that was his habit. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there were delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," circle the word me, "because he hath anointed me," circle the word me, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me," circle the word me, "to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." In that passage, he came to the bankrupt. He came to the brokenhearted. He came to the bound. He came to the blind. He came to the bruised. And whatever your need is, you can inject it in that passage. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel." I'm grateful for that today. We have an anointed Savior who's getting ready to do something in a divine appointment. So you go from the anointing of God, the Holy Ghost on Jesus Christ, which came on that day of his baptism. And when John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus said, "John, I want you to baptize me." John the Baptist, who the Bible says, never has there been a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist. And John said, "I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not even worthy to unlace your shoes." And Jesus said, "Suffer to be so, to fulfill all righteousness." I believe on that day, the blessed Son of God, the Creator of the world, the Son of God, the Son of Man, I believe with all of my heart, Jesus Christ, that glorious God-man, stepped down in the Jordan River. I believe he went out about waist high and got in the Jordan. I don't think he got sprinkled on the border or on the side of the bank. I think he got baptized. The word baptized means baptizo. It means to immerse. And I believe that John the Baptist, when he held his hand up and put his hand behind the Son of God's head, "I baptize you." What a privilege. Not because he'd been saved. He didn't have to be saved. Not because he had sinned, because Jesus never had sinned. But because he was fulfilling all righteousness and setting the pattern that you need the power of the Holy Ghost of God upon your life. And if you've not been baptized physically, you need to be baptized. Because you're missing one of the greatest things in the Christian life. You see, the anointing of Jesus came, and when he baptized John, the voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then that holy dove came and lit on the shoulder of Jesus, which was a symbol of the Holy Ghost of God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. The reason why we get defeated, the reason why we fail, is because we don't have the power of God upon our life. We're trying in the flesh to defeat the devil, and the armor of flesh will fail you. It's not going to work now. It didn't work yesterday. It won't work tomorrow. You and I need the power of the Holy Ghost of God. When we yield to him, say, "I'm not worthy," but you get baptized in the power of the Holy Ghost of God, and you can be filled over and over again with that wonderful power that comes. I'm glad that God gave us the Holy Ghost when we got saved. He gives us that filling of the anointing of the Holy Ghost to live the Christian life. I believe it's the book of Psalms 96, somewhere through there. Maybe it's 92. "I need some fresh oil. Anoint thy servant with fresh oil." Most of us probably need a freshness today because the oil has got dry. The oil has sort of run its course. Need some fresh oil. And here he is with this divine appointment. The anointed by the Holy Ghost was Jesus. But this leper's getting ready to have a divine appointment. Some of you are going to have a divine appointment today if you'll let it happen, where your life and the Lord Jesus' life intersects. You say, "I just came because of accidents." There's no accidents in the work of God. "Well, I just came because somebody invited you." That was a divine appointment. You say, well, I just came today because I always come. It could be the greatest divine appointment you ever had. You see, you've been sort of just drifting along, acting like everything's all right. I'm going to go on flowery beds of ease, and I'm just going to ease my way to glory. God has a divine appointment with most of us. I can go back in my life to divine appointments where God met with me, where God gave me a choice. I remember throwing up the white flag as an 18-year-old boy. Saved at age of 9. Grew up in the house of God. Grew up in church. Grew up in a Christian home. Knew the language backwards and forwards. Just drifting along like a lot of Christians do. But God began to work on my heart at age 16. 16 years of age. Every time a man would get up and preach on Jonah, I think he was talking to me. Every time a preacher get up, it seemed like he was cleaning right down my plow. I ran from God. Two of the most miserable years of my life were from 16 to 18. High school, getting ready to graduate when I became a senior. Searching for meaning for life, looking for a position, trying to find a job to make money. 18 years of age, graduated. Two places in Kentucky, Ashland, Kentucky, across the river from Ironton, Ohio, and Canova, West Virginia. And where I was staying at that particular time in Canova. And I applied for the jobs that were available at Armco Steel. And there were some men in our church that worked there who said, we can help you, but you got to pass 3 tests. I went in with confidence. Back then, they paid as much money probably as anybody in the area. Been a good position to get. I passed 2 and failed 1. And they could not hire me. I hitchhiked across the Ohio River. Went across the bridge back to Ironton, Ohio, out of Ashland, Kentucky. I'm going to tell you the loneliest day of my life. When I was searching, looking, wondering what life was all about. I got to get a job. I got to make a living. I've graduated from high school. I went to hear my uncle preach in Louisa, Kentucky. Eustace Riggs, still living. My best friend outside of my family is Eustace Riggs. Lives in Alabama presently. Probably 88 years old right now. I went to hear him preach. I stood there in that service. And God met me. He preached. And the tears began to flow down my eyes. Maybe I was feeling a little sorry for myself. It became God's divine appointment. Amen. Maybe I thought, well, this life ain't everything it ought to be. But God began to work on my heart. And I remember that night, as he got through preaching, I went down the aisle as an 18-year-old boy. And I said, Lord, I need you. I cannot make it by myself. I don't know what to do and how to do it. And that day, when I said yes to God, there was a divine appointment I had with God that day that changed my life forever. In less than a month, I was preaching the gospel. In less than just a few months, I was in Bible college preparing for the ministry. Nobody went to college out of our family. My daddy said, go, son, to college and prepare for the ministry. I'm just simply saying that my life changed drastically on that divine appointment. You say, what if you'd got the job probably at Armco Steel? I might have been out of the will of God. You see, you can get what you want, not get what you need. Amen. Sometimes it's all about me and mine and selfishness. It's not about you. It's not about yourself. It's not about myself. It's about the honor and the glory of God. Revelation 4:11. And everything should be centered in him. And I could give you several times when I've had to have some divine appointments with God that I didn't know it was going to be a divine appointment, but it was. Sometimes God has to bring us down and get beyond ourselves. And sometimes we've got to come to a place like this leper. Let me illustrate. See, the lepers were not supposed to touch anybody. And nobody was supposed to touch a leper. Leviticus 13 and 14 deals with the sin or the plague of leprosy in the Old Testament under Moses. And you can read that, and I've read it several times and still get confused sometimes reading it. But I come out believing this, that leprosy was a terrible disease. It's a good type of sin to a large degree. And sometimes God would afflict people with leprosy. Miriam, Aaron's wife, was afflicted with leprosy. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, was plagued with the leprosy till the day he died. And others have been plagued with it. I'm not here to say why everybody got it in biblical times like they did. They had what they call leper colonies. And then they had places where if they were in a crowded area, a man would have to wrap a scarf over his face and cry, "Unclean! Unclean! Unclean!" The most terrible, hideous, hellish diseases that could ever affect a man was called leprosy. I see something in this man as he came to Jesus Christ that day. You see, he had an appointment. Poor, pathetic, come groping and dragging his way, because what happened once those spots begin to appear on your skin, you go to the priest and he evaluates whether you have leprosy or not. And as it begins to change, and sometimes they put you up for a few days, like the quarantine we talk about, and they see what's going to happen to you. And then once a man, he's declared he's got leprosy, he says, "Let me go home and tell my wife." And you can't go. "Let me go see my children, tell them I got to be put up, because I've got leprosy." And they knew leprosy was a dreaded disease. And usually some may live 20 or 30 years, but most would live only 9 years of their life. It began to affect you all over your body. I'll read it in just a minute. But here come this poor, pathetic man groping and dragging himself. Maybe one foot was already gone and one hand was already gone, and maybe it was eaten away at his mouth and his head, as it does so often to become an ugly, putrid-looking sight. "I want to go home and see my wife." You can't go. How long he was a leper? The Bible says he was fully filled with leprosy in the book of Luke. That means it was all over his body, so he could have been there a number of years. But he heard about Jesus. I don't know how, I don't know where, and I don't know when, but he heard about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was passing by. He forgot the fact that he was not supposed to be there, because he had a need that overshadowed everything in the world. I'm sure he wanted to be a good Jew, but I think he wanted to be a delivered Jew. He probably wanted to be obedient to the law of the Old Testament, but he wanted to be able to serve the one that he called Lord in this passage. The cries began to go up from the crowd. They began to sigh. They began to shout angry murmurings. "This dreaded leper is in our midst." And when a leper would pass by, folks didn't want to be close to that at all. As a matter of fact, sometimes they would even refuse to eat an egg off the storefront if a leper had passed by. Nobody wanted them. They were outcasts of society. They were forsaken of their family, not by intent, but by design. Here they are, all over the place. "Unclean, unclean, unclean. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Leave me alone. Leave me alone." But on the inside, they're crying, "Somebody touch me." There's never been any disease which so separated a man from his fellow man as leprosy has. I read to you, leprosy. It might begin with a little nodular which begins to ulcerate. The ulcers develop into a foul discharge. The eyebrows fall off. The eyes become staring. The vocal cords become ulcerated. And the voice becomes hoarse. And the breath wheezes. The hands and the feet always ulcerate. Slowly the sufferer becomes a mass of ulcerated growths. The average course of the kind of leprosy is 9 years, and it ends with mental decay, a coma, and ultimately death. Leprosy might begin with the loss of all sensation in some part of the body. The nerve trunks are affected. The muscles waste away. The tendons contract until the hands are like claws. There follows ulceration of the hands and feet. Then comes the progressive loss of their fingers and their toes, until at the end of the whole hand or the whole foot may drop off. The duration of this kind of leprosy is anything from 20 to 30 years at the most. It's kind of a terrible progressive death in which a man dies by inches. They call them the walking dead men. But you're going to find in the New Testament, Jesus healed quite a few of them. He healed 10 at one time, remember? And the Bible says that he went from place to place. Back here in Matthew again, chapter 4, in verse 23. And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went out through all Syria, and they brought unto him the sick people that were taken with divers diseases. First of all, he wanted to be saved and forgiven of his sin, but he did heal a lot of people. The torments and those which were possessed with the devils, and those which were lunatics, those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes, people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And then you get down to chapter 8, and the great crowds followed him, the multitudes followed him. Why could it not include the leper? Others were crying out for physical illness. And he healed many people of his day. But here he came, full of leprosy, a type of the curse of sin upon his life. This man came, tired, weary, wondering. I want you to consider a couple of things right quickly. Consider his past. He's coming to Jesus. He had no family now that could touch him. They say the family would bring food and leave it at a certain place and you could go get it, but you couldn't communicate with them. Can you do that for years and years and years? Trying to eke out a living and survive in that capacity? He probably had a family, and let's say he had 4 kids. Don't you think he hurt just as much as anybody else did? Don't you think he longed for a life as much as anybody else did? And he heard about Jesus healing the multitudes. And he lists them, quite a few of them there. Consider him being an outcast of society without hope, without expectation. Listen to me, if you're unsaved tonight or today, you have no hope. Outside of Jesus Christ, you are hopeless and helpless and destitute and dying, and you're an outcast, and you will die in your sins and go to hell. But I got good news for you. There is a Savior. There is a Lord Jesus Christ who looks beyond what you are and sees, bless God, what you can become. He looks beyond your fault and sees your need. He looks beyond your pain and sees that he can pardon you and forgive you and help you in life to cope with whatever you got to cope with. And boy, this man came with an attitude as an outcast. A crowd began to jeer, no doubt. 4 kids at home and a wife he'd love to see. That wasn't the main reason, though, because he didn't say, Jesus, you've got to do it. You owe it to me. He didn't come that way. Go back to chapter 8 again and see how he came. Consider his shame, his humiliation, his public rejection. He came boldly. Look at it. The Bible says he came. He worshipped him. That shows adoration. He came and adored the Master. Reverently worshipped him. The word here for worship means kissing forward. Kissing forward. Kissing the hand. Worshipping him. And nobody is worthy of worship unless it is God. You don't worship man. I don't worship a pope. I don't worship a priest. I don't worship the preacher. I don't worship a layman. We only have one person that we bow to, and that's the potentate, the Lord God Almighty, a King of the universe and King of your soul. That's who you bow before. And so it is, he came and called him Lord. He said, not only did he worship him, he said, Lord. Lord means master, controller. Notice, if thou wilt, thou canst. I know you can heal. I've already heard faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I've heard you can heal, and I know you can heal. If thou wilt, thou canst. And one of the greatest verses in this parable or this miracle is given to us because you see the response of Jesus to meet the need. Jesus will receive anybody, and then the response he has to that individual. As Jesus Christ was considering the situation, and the man was considering his situation on this divine intersection of life, he left the decision up to Jesus. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you don't deserve to be saved. You have no right to be saved. We ought to pray the prayer with the publican who bowed his head and said, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." The Pharisee bragged about who he was and what he gave the church and how he fasted and prayed. But the Bible says about the publican, he bowed his head. He couldn't even look up. He said, "I'm just an old sinner. Please forgive me." And the Bible says he went down to his house justified. You know why? Because he came undeservingly. You're not going to stretch your way into glory. You're not going to be a peacock coming down the aisle saying, "Look at me. Look what God's getting. He's got angels that are better than you. He's got people in heaven better than you. And you and I are just deserving of everlasting fire in the torments of hell forever and forever and forever. But blessed be the name of the Lord. I have a Savior. He touched me. He touched me. He touched me as a small boy." Not in the same sense perhaps this was, but in symbolic language it was the same. Because I was a sinner, and leprosy is a type of sin. And the Bible says, he says, "If thou wilt, canst make me clean." And there it is. Here's the response of Jesus. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. He come in contact with somebody that day. It wasn't the doctor. He come in contact with the power of powers and the Lord God Almighty, who had the Spirit of God upon him at his baptism, who was fulfilling all righteousness, how to live right. And Jesus was willing to save and to help this man and to cleanse him. And Jesus knew he had 4 kids at home if he did. Jesus knew he had a loving wife that hadn't seen him in years. And he did. He says, "I will." Remarkable, he touched him, because you were not supposed to touch a leper. And lepers were not supposed to touch people. It's not the disease it used to be in society as it was then. And many people minister in leper colonies today around the world trying to help lepers. And so things have changed to some degree. It's still a terrible sin. And I've been in the third world countries, and I've seen in some of those places, or I've been to places like Egypt and Israel, and I've seen them begging. I've seen them riding on a little makeshift piece of board with wheels on it with no legs. See it with their arms bowling off. See it with their eyes twisted to their face, look like a lion looking at it. Their hair was falling out. Terrible, terrible. He could have spoken, but he didn't, Jesus. He could have just said the word, and he'd been healed. But see, Jesus came to fulfill the law. He gave the law. He can change things anytime he wants to. And what he did, he reached out and touched this leper guy, and the leper guy immediately of his leprosy was cleansed. The Lord told him to go tell the priest, "Go show thyself, don't tell nobody." And one reason why you don't want to tell nobody, because the more you tell, the more the crowd gathers. Don't go tell, he had a big crowd already. Don't tell nobody. Go show thyself to the priest, Old Testament, Leviticus 13, 14. Offer the gift that as Moses commanded. Remember, they were still in Judaism. For a testimony unto them. Because that priest can declare you healed. That verifies the miracle that Jesus did. I like this old boy. I'm about ready to shout right here. I like him. He come destitute and hurting and pain and problem and pursuing and ulcerating and bleeding and crying and got numb. Sometimes he couldn't even feel when he had pain because it just affected his nerve system. And here he comes. He comes. Little step by step. And he falls at the feet of Jesus and worships him. Wonderful God. I don't know why I'm like I am, but God, you're in control. I love you. Lord, you're my master. You can heal me if you want to. If thou would you do it? I know you can. And Jesus said, I will. And when the touch of the master's hand came, that old boy stood up and had all of his faculties back in place. He was as pure as the driven snow in the eyes of his Savior. And then Jesus told him to do something that was crazy. He said, don't tell nobody. You know what he did, Willie? He told everybody. Somebody said, well, he shouldn't have done that. You get healed. You get saved. I once was blind, but now I see. I know that something's happened in my life. It's different now since Jesus made me whole. I can't keep it quiet. I'm going to tell somebody else what Christ has done for me. You say, I hadn't told anybody in a long time. You better get at it. You got a lot of making up to do. The old boy, I think, had a Pentecostal Baptist fit. I think he did. Go see the priest. The priest is maybe a mile down the road. I believe the guy skipped. I believe he ran. I believe he shouted. I believe he rejoiced. I think he got happy. And his wife heard about it, and she met him halfway. I believe the kids come running out of the house and something's happened to my daddy. Something's happened to my daddy. And my daddy's been healed. My daddy's back to normal. And I'm telling nobody can do what Jesus can do. He touched me. He touched me. Jesus is willing to touch you right at the very intersection of your life. I close with an old hymn, an invitation hymn. It's called, we sing it often. I've never done this before. I never saw it before. I've sung it since I was a kid. Don't get nervous. I'm not going to sing it. But I just want to emphasize some words and I'm through. You see, he came just like he was. Right? He didn't try to make himself pretty. He didn't try to get the ooze and the stink off of him. He just come like he was. You can't clean yourself up good enough to meet God. You come just like you are. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me, here it is, come to thee. O Lamb of God, here it is, come, here it is. I come, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within and without. Charlotte Elliott, who wrote this song, had a lot of doubts and emotional problems. Sometimes she went up the roller coaster up and down, but she said, I've got to have peace. She says, if I'm going to get it, I got to come just like I am, with my conflicts, with my doubts, with my fears, within, without. There it is again, O Lamb of God. I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of thy mind. Yes, all I need in thee to find. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13 times, she says, I come. And then she put the emphasis where the emphasis ought to be, O Lamb of God. I submit to you today, if you are not saved, you ought to run the altar and get right with the Lord. If you can't run, you kneel where you're at and cry out for mercy because you may die before the day's over. If you're here and you're away from God, you're drifting, you're playing games with God, you're just drifting along, it's about time you renewed your vows to God and said, I need a touch of God upon my life. Amen. It's been missing a long time. You been there? I think all of us have. There's been times in our life when it's dry. There have been times when you just weren't close to God. You knew you weren't close to God, and you tried to fake it, as somebody said already today. You tried to fake it. How about it today? You may be backslidden. You may be here today as a Christian. Maybe you're like Charlotte Elliott. Oh, the emotional trauma of her life. Somebody says, well, preacher, I'm glad I'm not like other folks are. Well, they may be glad they're not like you. But everybody has needs, and some of them are different. There's people in this room who are facing needs and problems that I'll never face. And I'll face things that they'll never face. But the Lord knows. And he says, with his nail-scarred hands, and this is the invitation, if he were here today, if he's not, he's in heaven, I'm representing him. I don't have nail scars in my hands, but if he were here, he would say, it was for you. Come. The favorite word of God is come. He touched me. He's willing. Let's stand together, please. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed.